Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Nyack School District Board of Education meeting for Tuesday, March the 1st, 2016. Could you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, item 5.1. I just noticed that we have three of our board members absent today for a number of reasons that they had sent to me earlier today that they couldn't attend. So given that, I'd like to suggest, looking at the workshop items, we have a workshop item 3.6 on the sixth reading of the breathalyzer testing, and I just wanted to suggest that perhaps the board wanted to consider tabling this. Any thoughts?
I think that since there aren't the full board and this is an important policy, I wouldn't suggest that we take any action on it tonight, so it might be a good idea to table it.
Okay. Jen, do you have?
I agree. I mean, it just seems like there are a lot of thoughts and opinions, and if we're really going to have a full, good discussion on it,
okay,
we should.
James?
More majority.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so yeah. could I have a motion?
I'd move to table.
Do you have a second?
Second.
Okay, so move. So we'll table item 3.6 for today's meeting. Thanks, guys. President's report. I don't have much to report this evening. Just wanted to remind the community that we do have our showing of the Most Likely to Succeed movie tomorrow evening at the NIAC Center. Thursday evening. Thank you, Dr.
Tomorrow's
Tazana.
Red and black dinner.
Tomorrow's red and black dinner. No, that's right. And remind the community, if you can attend, it'll be at the NIAC Center starting at 7. And, of course, we do have our red and black dinner tomorrow evening at the Seaport to support and recognize our winter varsity athletes. Always a good event. I just realized I've given my report, but we have not approved the agenda. So let's back up. So having tabled, had a motion to table item 3.6, do we now have a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. Dr. Montesano.
Yes, thank you. Just a couple quick items. I too want to encourage anyone that's able to get to the NIAC Center. We do appreciate NIAC Center for making the facility available to us. We're going to open doors at 6:30. We'll have a few opening comments about 6:45. We hope to start the movie promptly at 7 p.m. We do have a panel that's comprised of one of our NIAC High School graduates, a parent of a college student, I believe a NIAC College professor, and a resident of our community that was a former partner at Morgan Stanley, that are going to respond a little bit to the movie itself. But we do hope that movie is going to create some dialogue in the community about where we're going as a school district and really what does a profile of a NIAC High School graduate need to look like in the 21st century. So we are looking forward to that. Also, I want to thank everyone that's participated in our community survey. We had a tremendous response. I believe over 1,000 responders. We sent out about 2,600 invitations. Anyone that's ever done surveys in any form of research or any form, that's a tremendous, tremendous response. We are planning to do a presentation before the board at one of our future board meetings. Our next meeting on March 15th is really going to be dedicated to the budget planning process, which is an interesting process this year given the tax cap that we're confronting. But we do want to get that information, and we do have a plan to disseminate that information out to the community, because I do think it's very telling and gives us a lot of very rich information about the desires of our community. I guess the final thing I want to mention is regarding the calendar. The calendar for the 2016-17 school year is on the agenda for approval tonight. Please be assured that your students, your children will not be starting school before Labor Day. So if you've made plans, you should have some confidence. We are going to be bringing back the teachers the day before, probably the Thursday before Labor Day. Also, while I'm very hopeful that we'll not have to get up at 4 in the morning anymore for potential snow days, it's been a pretty mild winter overall. We currently have one extra day, if you will, from the snow day calendar. And by the way in which the teacher's contract is written, that day will convert, if in fact it's not used, to an additional added day for Memorial Day weekend. So it's potentially possible that Friday, May 27th, provided there is no more snow or closing of snow or whatever kind of, whatever Mother Nature has in mind, that would occur. And that's my report.
Thanks very much, Dr. Montesano. Our student representative, Hunter Dreska.
Thank you. Okay, got a lot of stuff today. First, I'm not sure if you have heard what happened to Mr. Crown's family. Of those of you who know Mr. Crown, his daughter was in an accident in New Hampshire over break, a skiing accident. And what we are doing is until this Friday, we are going to be collecting money from students and parents and teachers in the high school to raise money because she's still in the ICU in New Hampshire and she has serious injuries. And they need help assisting in the financial burden and medical transport. So we will be collecting money until Friday, and anybody who would like to donate is welcome to. Second, okay, lots of fundraisers going on at the high school. The freshmen are still, they just finished actually selling their hats. The sophomores originally were going to sell sweatpants a while ago, but what happened was their advisor went on maternity leave, so they're going to be, yeah. But they're going to be starting that back up again soon, which is good. The juniors, I think I mentioned this last time, are selling canteens for $15 each. And then the seniors are looking, they're still looking for fundraisers. I promise you we're getting there. And then another thing that came up in student council was we wanted to plan a voter registration drive for anybody over 18, which will be happening the week of March 14th to the 18th, which is really exciting. We have Assemblywoman Ellen Jaffe coming into the Gov classes. And what's really exciting is last week, I don't know if any of you know Mayor Jen White of NIAC. I'm good friends with her son, and she invited me to a rally held by the governor last week. And I met Congresswoman Nita Lowey there, and she wanted to know if she could come to the high school and talk to the AP Gov classes. So she will be coming in this Friday, which is really exciting, Friday afternoon, and be talking to the three classes about Congress and voter registration and all that good stuff. So, okay, and I think that's actually it. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Hunter. Okay, our board reports. Trustee Mark.
Thank you, Trustee President Hughes. a few items. Number one, as the designated trustee on the BOCES board, I'm reporting that the BOCES board heard a report on the budget that BOCES is submitting for this year. The component districts in the county vote on the administrative portion of the budget, because that's the part that all of the districts help to pay. And then on top of that, whatever services that are used by the districts are paid for. But the administrative budget is divided up proportionally throughout the eight component districts. I'm very pleased to report that they were able to, and I don't think I've ever heard of this before, put forward an administrative budget that is a 1% reduction from last year. And they did that because there was some personnel that was that retired or moved on, and then there were division of those services without adding personnel back in, and then some distribution of the responsibilities. Some of the lines were changed as well and moved to program, and so you would then have the fear that perhaps the programs were raised to make up for this reduction. But as that happens, they were able to do an average raise of all their programs of only 1%. Many of them that are services that are broadly used have less than a 1% raise. A few of the programs that have very expensive needs, expensive equipment and personnel, had up to 2%, but they were very few of those. So there is a district's vote on that budget August 19th, and I was very pleased to be able to report that to everybody. Next item, I received an email. I know we brought up this project, the Mary Dell Faith and Life Center was trying to do an arrangement where some acreage was going to be taken over by the state. They needed money. They needed to raise $3.1 million to do it. And I received an email that the deal went through, that the Mary Dell property will be protected. New hiking trails will be created to better connect Nyack Beach State Park with Hook Mountain. And I think it's good for the community, and it's a win-win because the land also generates a certain amount of tax revenue that comes from the state to the Nyack School District, and so that's an extra added dividend. Wanted to point out two more things that we'll have an item 4.2 where we're verifying the library vote results. There was a budget vote for the libraries on February 9th, and there's a contractual arrangement between the libraries and the school district. There's no money that the school district pays to the libraries, but the libraries are not authorized to collect money. So once the voters authorize to approve the budget, the school district is authorized to collect the money, and then they're the conduit, and they pass it through to the libraries. We are approving that. I serve on the Valley Cottage Library Board as well. There's no financial arrangement between these things. I've always voted on this before, but because there's only four of us and we need a quorum to approve it, I just wanted to disclose fully that I'm on that board too, and I've always voted on these matters in the past. And lastly, I'm going to take the liberty of a personal item and also step into the shoes of Trustee Rock and Juster, because they're not here, to just mention that the Inspire Nyack event is this weekend on Saturday night. It's always been a great event. They raise a lot of money for the district. I think there's an item on here that we're going to be dealing with. They give us a lot of money, and they do great work. I had intended to be there with my wife, Mary. We won't be able to attend because I have a longtime friend who passed away, and we have to go out to Portland, Oregon to a memorial service. And I only bring it up because his name was Ron Paul, not the congressman. This is a different Ron Paul. And Ron, ever since I've known him, had a fierce need to do good public work. He served the public in Portland in terms of nutritional issues and getting an organic public market built out there. And every day he was trying to do something for the public. And so we're going to get on a plane and go out there and celebrate his life. And I know that if he were here, he would be applauding the Inspire Nyack work and the work that they do for the district. And that's the reason that I wanted to bring it up. So if you haven't gotten a ticket there, make sure that you do and go have a good time there. We've made our donation to that. And I thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Michael. Great report. Thank you. Trustee Marshall.
Thank you. I was going to ask in response to Michael's comment, because I won't be able to attend either. Coincidentally, I have also an out-of-town event involving the loss of a family member. There is a way for us to go onto the website and contribute to...
Yes, you can donate www.inspirenyack.org.
All right, I
can walk you through that.
All right, no, I can just... I'm pretty savvy that way. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for the Valley Cottage, I'm assuming PTA, for the amazing spread that you put on. I think there should be an after party for all the great... stuff over there, but thank you very much for that, and thank you for hosting us this evening.
And whoever made that peanut butter and jelly cake.
Yeah, where is she?
Fantastic.
She should go see the principal.
Without taking a slice.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
It's amazing. Thank you for that and hosting us here tonight. My report is very short. Just a couple things. In response to Hunter's announcement for the Lunch for Laura, we did get an update that they raised over $3,000 at that luncheon. To contribute to her recovery, so we'll continue to remember them as she gets better. Also, I attended the legislative breakfast, which was postponed due to snow, and our own Dr. Montesano did the presentation. I was going to suggest to the board that we put that presentation and in terms of advocacy around the gap elimination and the foundation aid on our website so that the public can take advantage of that presentation, as well as their presentation on the Parental Choice Act. I think those would be some very good presentation to put on our website.
Okay.
Nodding, getting heads nodding.
Yeah.
So that was that. And again, with the rest of you that will be at the Red and Black tomorrow, I'll be attending that, as well as the screening of Most Likely to Succeed. If you have read the book, you should read the book. And I already mentioned about Casino Night, which is a great event every year. And I believe that is my report.
Thank you very much, Trustee Marshall. Last but not least.
Okay.
Trustee Maraschino.
Thank you to Valley Cottage PTA. And I couldn't eat any of it because I ate so much of the chocolate peanut butter cake. That was so good. Thank you. I wanted to just mention some sort of legislative advocacy things. Before I also attended the legislative event sponsored by Rockland County School Board Association, but prior to that, I attended the Rockland County School Board Association monthly meeting. Leanne is our rep. She could not attend that one, so I'm sort of the alternate and went in her place. And I just, you know, I sent a little recap to the board, but, you know, the main thing that was discussed at that meeting, which is kind of important, I think, for everybody to hear, is just sort of the changes that are being implemented sort of from the state of New York and the Education Department in response to the task force, the Education Task Force that Governor Cuomo had put together. And, you know, there's actually some good things that I think most education advocates, school board members, PTA members, feel like some of the issues that many of us have been talking about are maybe being responded to a little bit. And there was some talk, it's not so much time left, but about how to really bring this information to parents, you know, particularly in light of the growing opt-out movement and sort of, you know, the feeling at the School Board Association meeting was that that really is school board members, you know, our role is to really try to educate parents on some of the changes. And most of the discussion centered around the fact that, you know what, the tests right now, and please correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, Dr. Montesano, but as of now, the link to teacher evaluation is on hold. So, do I have this right? Is it this year or is it next year?
No, not actually. It's actually a very interesting topic.
Okay.
The law which was enacted with the APPR still remains in place. The Board of Regents has taken a position to basically put a waiver on that. But it is a situation where the waiver is in conflict with the law. So there is an open question with regard to the ability of school districts to abide by the waiver. But I do agree the one part about, yeah, there is definitely some movement afoot, but there is still an open question. At least that's the last I was informed about the overall legalities of the whole situation.
Okay, well, that's still a little confusing then, but you know, in addition to that, the tests are not being timed. A lot of the issues, I hope I'm getting this right. It's so confusing because things keep changing, really, all the time.
The tests have always been timed, as probably all of you are aware. The commissioner basically, along with the Board of Regents, has given the ability for students, if they are engaged productively in the test and the time has evolved, as the time has run out, they can get extended time to continue to perform on the test.
And let's see if I'm right on this one. The tests,
like a game
are
show,
a little shorter than in prior years. I mean, but really, not to make light of it, I mean, the thing is, there's clearly been a lot of issues. There's been a huge opt-out movement in the past couple of years. The feeling at the Rockland County School Board Association was this is an important time for us to really try to educate our community and share these changes with our parents so they can make informed decisions when it comes time to testing and things like that. So I'm not exactly, you know, it's something maybe for us to consider discussing a little bit. There's not so much time before the tests are taken. They're in April. You know, there is the Rockland County School Board Association is trying to plan an informational session, I believe, on March 14th. I have not received any information, I just realized today, about this. It would be somewhere in the county, and there'd be some speakers trying to, you know, invite parents throughout the county to come and sort of learn more about these changes so you can make informed decisions. There were some suggestions that individual school districts try to maybe put together something, whether it's a letter or some sort of session, to educate our community on this. Again, there's not so much time.
The piece that I'm missing is educating them on what specifically, because to your point, it's confusing. To Dr. Montesano's point, there are changes around, there's a lot still in play. So,
well, at the School Board Association, it was being said that the tests are not being linked currently to teacher evaluations.
Right, but if we're having a session,
yeah,
it's got to be factual.
Yep.
So we'd need to understand what it is, what the subject of the discussion would be, rather than a free-for-all meeting.
To be honest, at the Rockland County School Board Association, that group, in my opinion of it, was that they seem to be laying out that these changes were in place a little differently.
I'm informing you that there is an open question from a legal vantage point whether or not the Board of Regents has the authority to supersede New York state law. And that's my understanding of what the
issue. And that didn't come up at the Rockland County School Board Association.
So what I'm saying is that that's fine. If we're going to have a discussion, then it needs, or to the point of informing the community, then we need to understand the facts, and it needs to be constructive information that we're giving out. That's all I just suggested.
Yes, I sent a letter to the board. It was just a suggested letter. You know, now I can't open it on my email. I think it came from
the one from
superintendent.
Pearl River.
That was their interpretation of explaining the changes.
Yeah, okay. I remember that.
And it went out to their school community. Sorry, it won't open on my
That only talked about the impact of opt-out, and it sent a letter that the education department had sent out saying that the penalties would still be in place for states that did not achieve the percentage minimum. I think it's 95%. But let's not get, that's fine, but that's just seems to be one aspect of the whole thing. So we need to understand what specifically we'd be discussing. That's all I'm saying. Around this, because much uncertainty.
And maybe what we need to do then is see really where the Rockland County School Board Association stands on planning this shared information session that they were talking
about.
That's fair
enough.
Yeah. And then we can piggyback
off that if
we
need to be. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was just something I wanted to report on. And then I also attended the legislative event, which Dr. Montesano did an amazing job speaking at. I mean, I will say the majority of the other school districts are always saying to us how lucky we are to have him as a superintendent. He really did a great job. I personally am really impressed by our legislators. Ken Zebrowski could not stay. He had to leave. Ellen Jaffe was there. And James Skoufis, you know, he's got sort of a port of the county a little bit higher up. They are, in my opinion, wonderful education advocates. They did a great job. They answered all questions. There was tons of talk about what we brought up, the lack of restoration of the gap elimination adjustment, which is a huge issue. The funding's still not there. The unfunded mandates that keep coming down from the state. Many of them are good mandates, such as requiring, English for English language learners, bilingual classrooms. And they're great mandates, but they're completely unfunded, so they, of course, cost school districts a lot more. They talked a lot about the education tax credit, which the school board members, at least the Rockland County School Board Association, is completely opposed to. They really spoke about it as something that's truly a benefit to private schools. So it's really, an important time for people to try to stay sort of on top of these issues. Again, we do have some information on, our website about the resolutions that we sort of approved as a school board. So, I just feel like this is that time of year when there's a lot going on legislatively. It was a great event. So, and I am going to the Red and Black dinner tomorrow. And casino night. So I think that's about it for now.
Okay. Thanks very much, Jen. Dr. Montesano, are there any responses to citizens' prior proposals, questions, and concerns?
Yes, there was actually two I want to bring to the board's attention. One, as you're aware, we had a concern that was expressed at the February 2nd meeting, and I do have that, or we do have, the board has it on its agenda to discuss with regard to a potential conflict. We can get into that at the workshop time.
Okay.
Also, as the board is aware, also, I think you received an email from a concerned parent regarding overcapacity on one of the high school bus routes. And we are monitoring that, and I just heard the last several days, because they're now really making sure that just the kids that are assigned to that bus are on that bus. It left this afternoon with, I think, 29 students. It showed up this morning with 33 students, so that's well below what we're dealing with. So I think it's resolved. In fact, I got a nice email from the parent tonight to tell me that, you know, she's pleased with things are moving in the right direction. So those are the concerns.
Okay. Thank you very much. Citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns. We had a sign-up sheet, and we have Ms. Constance Fraser. If you'd like to. Yes. Thank you.
Just a microphone someplace around.
Right, oh, there it goes. Behind you. No, it's for the podcast, Constance. So if you could announce your name so those on the podcast can hear. Oh, you're welcome.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Constance Fraser. Some of you know me, some of you don't. And I'd like to get to know you if you don't know me. I'm a past president of the Nyack Board of Education back in the day before many of you were born. And I'm a retired superintendent of schools in an affectionate state.
That's why you look
so good. I beg your pardon?
Because you're retired.
You know, I haven't been in this building in many years, but I just want to commend the staff. It is really clean. It's the climate here is conducive to teaching and learning. You know, my little antenna goes up when I walk in the building right away. And I told your principal, I said, I'm so proud of you. I said, because that's not easy. And I had a chance to meet your new middle school principal, and I kind of like him. I am here this evening because I bring information. And I'm here as an advocate for children who attend the East Ramapo Public Schools. And that means all of them. It's been reported there are 24,000, there are 8,500 students that attend the public school and the private sector. There are about 20,000. Nobody really seems to know. Quite frankly, the BEDS report is a year old, and it's kind of late. It takes a while to catch up. But in any event, you've been reading a lot of little tidbits in the news. You've seen things on television, on Channel 12. Some of it, you probably said to yourself, Jesus, thank God my kids are not going to school there. I have to tell you, I'm much older than some of you in the room. East Ramapo was, using the past tense, a blue ribbon school district. When I went to Nyack, we competed with them, not only in sports, but academically, to see who could get the merit scholars. When I walked into a board meeting about 2 weeks ago, I had to actually leave because I got physically upset. I have tremendous compassion for our students. And if they're students in Nyack, they're still our students. If they're students in East Ramapo, excuse me, they are still our students. And sometimes people walk around, they're a little parochial, because back in the day I taught in Nanuet. Even though I wasn't in Nyack, Nanuet kids were our students. And we have to begin to look at the gestalt in terms of this county. Rockland is very, very small. And you can be a peacock today and a feather duster tomorrow. And that's honest God truth. We have an obligation, even though it's East Ramapo kids, to make sure that they get a quality education. Quality meaning optimal. Because right now they're not getting that. Approximately 3 years ago, they cut 400 teachers. And I give Dr. Wortham all the credit in the world. I don't know how she does it. She is the interim superintendent of schools. And her predecessor, Dr. Klein, decided it was time for him to clip his coupons, so he did that. And that also happened. The attorney did the same thing. Now, at the end of the day, my reason for being here tonight is to ask the board, as humbly as I can, if you would support a resolution that would be sent to the State Ed Department, which would simply guarantee that a monitor be put in place with veto power. Now, their budget is significantly higher than yours. His budget is about, I think it's about $220 million a year. That's a lot of money. And if you read the paper the other day, you saw that there were 8 schools that are really troubled. They're priority schools, and they're schools where the kids are failing. And we can't have our kids failing, because while they may be in East Ramapo, they're still our kids. And if they don't have access to a quality education, they will not be able to succeed in a global environment. It's just not going to happen. And some people, I've heard them say, well, CF, that's over there. We're over here. Guess what? It could be them today, and it could be you tomorrow. So we need to really pay attention to what's happening in that district. And if the Board of Ed could see their way clear this evening, I would be so appreciative. In fact, I'd even come and sit through one of your board meetings for free to pass a resolution, because they need to have a monitor there. They need to have someone help them as members of the governance body to make the kinds of decisions that are positive for children. Because sometimes people don't always understand things. We tend to dislike that which we don't understand. That's human nature. We all like that. But they need help in understanding and interpreting board policy as members of a governance body, and also the procedures that have to be implemented by our esteemed colleague over here, Dr. Montesano. One of the things I want to call to your attention is that there have been 2 studies, 4 experts, and 1 conclusion. Let me say that again, because that resonates loud and clear with me. 2 studies, 4 experts, and 1 conclusion. The young lady that I brought with me this evening is a graduate of Nyack High School back in the day. Her name is Frances Reed, and I called her up one day, and she's also a retired teacher from East Ramapo, so she's seen it. She's from Chestnut Ridge. She said, CF, when I came here, this place was nothing like this. And when she left last year, I think she left with almost a broken heart. Because the quality, she could see it. Every day when you go into a building, you see it. And when I talked to her about it, she said it just doesn't make any sense. But I've made her go with me. I went down to see Nita Lowy, because I like to talk to the people that are supposed to be in charge of money. And she has a lot to do with ESA money and Title I money, and you get some of that too. So if you need to get extra money, call me. No, I'm just kidding. When we spoke with her, she was very, very, very supportive. And I said, I want you to do me a favor, because I don't like driving to Albany. I used to go up there all the time. We met with Hank Greenberg in 2014. I want to tell you something. He was so decent and so smart and so caring. And the report that he put together really mirrored and reflected, based on what information he had available, what needed to happen in that district. Dennis Walcott was appointed, along with John Sippo and Monica George, this past August of 2015? And they were at RCC, and I said to Meryl Tisch, you know, she's on her way out. I said, we have to get a handle on this. This is a mess. And the commissioner said, well, CF, we're doing the best we can. You know, the State Education Department has an obligation under law to ensure that the kids get a thorough and efficient education. That's their job. By any means necessary, they're supposed to do that. They're supposed to do that for Nyack as well as every single school district in this state. And you've got over 730, I believe. And the irony of the whole thing is that Dennis Walcott was appointed, and then you had an interim superintendent that was appointed in November. And I read in the paper this morning at 4 o'clock that Dennis Walcott is no longer going to be in the district as the monitor. And I found that very interesting. He's going to be in charge of libraries in Queens. So I don't know what any of that means. I'll ferret it out tomorrow when I go, you know, to do my little homework and check-in. But tonight is very, very important. And I'm going around to a lot of the districts that I have, you know, contacts with to speak to people, because a lot of people have a working knowledge about what goes on, but they don't have that deep knowledge about what goes on. And it's very important that we pay attention. And you've had some parents over there, they've just gotten to the point where they're so frustrated, if they can afford it, they take their kids out. And what is left over in terms of the children that are there, they deserve to get an education. They got some bright kids in that system. I used to bring them to my house and tutor them, because I felt it was important that they get the extra additional. So with all due respect, you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. If you could see your way clear, do that tonight. I'd be very appreciative. Thank you.
Thank you. Connie, thank you so much for that. I just want to point out two things here. We actually do have it on our workshop to discuss a resolution that one of our board members has put together, so we'll read that out and have it. And the one thing I should let you know is that as president of the Nyack School Board, I cannot tell you how many calls I get consistently, and it breaks my heart, from parents in East Ramapo saying, can you please change the rules at Nyack so I can bring my kids to Nyack? It's heartbreaking. And to look at them and say that there's really nothing we can do. I mean, when a parent gets to that point begging, pleading, because they don't have the means to take them out of the school district and simply want to get them a good public education, it's heartbreaking. So I thank you for that. It hasn't fallen on deaf ears, and we'll discuss that in our workshop item today. Thanks for that. In the meantime, we have a recognition section to recognize the Inspire Nyack Foundation this evening. But before we do that, I'd like to ask that we move up item 3.2, the middle school Mac Lab, which I think might be appropriate to have while the Inspire Nyack troops are here.
And with that in mind, we have a brief presentation. the principal of Nyack Middle School, Mr. David Johnson, and the art chairperson for the district, Mr. Joseph Pissarro, here to give the board and our public a brief presentation.
Good evening, members of the board, Dr. Montesano, members of the public. My name is David Johnson, a new principal of Nyack Middle School. And the idea of a Mac Lab at the high school, at the middle school, began as a conversation with Joe Fissaro, the department chairperson for art. And the idea was, what can we do to improve the middle school art program? How can we offer more diverse programs? How can we have that department move into the 21st century? I always begin my faculty meeting with the vision of Nyack Middle School. One success for all students, regardless of their socioeconomic background, we think all students will achieve. Number two, instruction that prepares students for the 21st century with the four C's of collaboration, critical thinking, communication, and creativity. And this should occur in a classroom that is infused with technology. That's the talk. The walk is this Mac Lab. So why Mac Lab at the middle school? Well, as we know, our economy has changed. Jobs and careers have changed. We want to, again, prepare students for when they, not only when they leave middle school or high school, but when they graduate college, they have a career ahead of them. And the Mac Lab will help that to happen. In the high school, they do have use of a Mac Lab, great programs including AutoCAD, computer graphics, film production, media communication. Why should that begin at the high school level? Our kids are just as creative at the middle school level. They need that outlet. And this Mac Lab, again, will serve those needs. Where would it fit into our schedule? Well, right now, I'm trying to be brief. Right now, we have a trimester elective program for our seventh grade students. One third of the year, they have art. Then they have home and careers and tech ed. We want to give kids an option. Students like myself, that were not great artists. I can barely draw a stick figure. But I'm pretty creative when it comes to designing a PowerPoint or a web page or a newsletter. Well, let's have them have an outlet as well. In eighth grade, we come to part of our robust eighth grade middle school elective selection. Middle school is all about finding your niche. Where do I fit in? What am I good at? We feel we have enough courses in the elective program in eighth grade where they can find that niche. This is one more option. I'm going to have Joe Fissaro come on up and talk about how we can project forward to high school. Joe?
Briefly. Sizing briefly.
So what I tried to do was put together just two samples of what might be some options for middle school students moving through the middle school and then on to the high school. As Mr. Johnson said, there's no reason at this point for students to wait until high school to do some of these things. So my plan is to take the existing curriculum for starters that we have at the high school for computer graphics and for something like CAD, and eventually move it down to the middle school and then do more advanced coursework in the high school. This is one sample, a sixth and seventh grader take art at the beginning of their middle school years. Maybe a seventh grader might have some interest in computer graphics and work in the Mac lab as a seventh grader. And then in eighth grade, if they're building on that, they could take something like CAD. They could take an introduction to computer-aided design. Moving into the high school, then they have the opportunity to do some advanced computer graphics work in the Da Vinci Center, to do some advanced CAD work. I brought some samples that I'm going to pass around to the board members of some CAD prototypes that we just started developing with the brand new small 3D printers that we have there. And this is the kind of stuff that we'd like to see middle school students thinking about in seventh and eighth grade especially, so that when they come to the high school, they're more prepared to really engage with that kind of technology and also engage with the community. Dr. Montesano and I have had lots of discussions about moving the work out of the schools and into the community, making connections with the communities, really doing work that's going to make a difference outside the walls of the school. So this is one example. And this is another right here. Yes, this is one. Okay. It's the same one. Same one. But we changed it up. No? There we go.
Hey,
okay.
There you go.
So another sample is students can stick with visual art, with fine art in sixth and seventh grade, and then maybe in eighth grade, take a computer graphics course, possibly if they have room in their program, to also maybe take a studio art prep course. Studio art prep gives them a chance to do some of the same or similar work that we do in that introduction to studio art in ninth grade. And then when they get to the high school, they can take things like intro to film production, which we currently offer, media communication, which is advanced film and video work, and advanced coursework in computer graphics. I look forward to, and I have to really thank the board, as well as the community, Inspire NIAC, everyone, for the support that we get in this community and from the board, Dr. Montesano, because this work that we're doing with kids now is becoming more relevant. And it's making a difference. You have to see that Da Vinci Center with the Mac lab that we have now at lunchtime. It's hard to get a seat. You're going to have to start making reservations. So thank you for your time. I'm going to give it back to Mr. Johnson at this point.
Thank you, Joe. So I think we are charged to educate and prepare our students to be successful when they graduate. This Mac Lab is part of that road to success. Timeline, well, our board presentation today. Eventually, curriculum writing over the summertime. Training next June. And we hope to open this Mac Lab in September of 2017. We want to thank the Inspire NIAC organization for your support. One thing is to say that you want to help out students of NIAC Middle School. But putting your money where your mouth is a great, great testament to the people and the individuals of the Inspire NIAC organization. So thank you again. Thank the board for their time and any questions you may have at this point.
Great.
I have questions. No, it looks great. It's incredible. Thank you so much. So what is there a requirement for art in middle school now? I forget sort of what the art requirement is.
Yeah, well there's several in terms of consumer and family science. All kids do need to be exposed in the middle school years also to one of the performing arts as well. So, you know, music, art, that type of pathway.
Does this course would count?
Yeah, we believe it will. Absolutely.
As your art requirement.
It's definitely in our art curriculum.
Excellent. Okay. It's amazing. It looks great. It just got me thinking about a couple other questions. In terms of computer programming, do we teach the kids PowerPoint or other computer programs? And I know that doesn't specifically tie into this presentation. It's just when you were talking about all these sort
of... Yeah, you know, there was a time school spent a lot of time taking kids down to computer labs to teach them some of the basics of Excel spreadsheet and PowerPoint.
Yeah.
There's really less and less of a need for that to be specific to blanket all kids, simply for the fact that most of our kids, because of the access at home, don't necessarily have that. At the same time, when we have projects that are associated where the kids, that's one of the options, may be a PowerPoint presentation. Some of our students, as you know, still may not have internet access in their home, may not have been exposed to it. Then the teachers will provide that kind of instruction individually for students who may need that.
Okay. I guess I was just thinking that it seems like there's such good computer programming sort of as a piece of this that, I don't know, I know it's kind of a separate topic, but just looking at when and if those other computer programming pieces fall into, maybe it's a conversation for the future, mm-hmm. but if they fall into any of our existing middle school offerings, but kind of something for, doesn't really tie specifically into this presentation, which was great and it all looks wonderful.
PowerPoint and Photoshop,
thank you so much.
Were part of this, Brent. It's in there.
The Photoshop.
And PowerPoint,
PowerPoint was...
Photoshop software is part of the art program that the Inspire NIAC lab would provide in the middle school.
Right, but I think Photoshop is different from PowerPoint.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's a different application.
Right, two different applications,
yes.
Exactly. I just wanted to clarify that. Yeah. No, it looks wonderful, and I mean, thank you so much to Inspire NIAC for looking at this and raising money for this.
Any other questions?
Yes, at this point, we're going to proceed. Thank you very much, guys, and I do appreciate your following directions. at this point in the program, what I'd like to do, which is part of the recognition, we have here tonight Mr. Gordon Weiss, who is the president of the Board of Directors of Inspire NIAC Foundation. I know he has a number of his members here. And I know this gives the board a lot of joy as well. You know, the folks in Inspire NIAC, they since 2007 have donated over $330,000 to NIAC School District. And it's enabling us what I hope will be a continuing trend when you see the excitement that both Dave and Joe had just presenting this information, or the presentation the board saw last February with Elliot Scharf speaking to the board and Ben Turner about our project Lead the Way and the advent of biomedical engineering introduced to the high school, aerospace engineering introduced to the high school. And, you know, our goal and ambition is to get kids excited to be able to be passionate about the learning process and the belief that the over-reliance on the standardized testing has somehow eroded that a little bit away from our kids. And again, because of the donations that the foundation has been providing the district, we're able to grow our programs outside of what our regular, quote, operational budget would provide for us. And it's never even more important than it is this particular year as we enter a budget season in which we have an historically low cap on the tax levy, which is going to make it much more difficult for us to expand programs, let alone hold on to existing programs. So with that as a backdrop, I would like at this time to invite Gordon to the microphone and perhaps you can either introduce the folks that are with you, and I know there is a check that they would like to donate to the group as well.
Thank you, Dr. Macasano, and thank you, members of the board, for inviting us here tonight. As we have the big check, quite happy to donate tonight $40,000 on behalf of the foundation. So on behalf of the foundation to inspire excellence in NIAC schools, known as Inspire NIAC, This is the final installment on the high school Mac Lab, room 304, which if you've never been there, I encourage everybody to go visit and see what it's all about. Dave Johnson's passion for what he wants to do in the middle school is modeled after what has been done in the high school with the Mac Lab. And this is really exciting when you see it put to use. This is not one of those projects where you can't see the tangible. This is really, you know, a full class when you happen to go up there. I'd like to bring the rest of the board up tonight to stand with me. And this donation tonight is made possible by all of us. It's members of the community and the staff of the school district who all support our cause. And we only have one fundraising event a year. It's this Saturday night at the Seaport. And I hope everybody can make it or in some way participate or at least find out a little bit more about what we do. So thank you all.
Before the group leaves us, because I know they have another meeting that they want to partake in, I would just defer to the board to perhaps move along the action item to accept the donation that they just presented to you.
Okay, so...
Before they change their mind.
Before they change their mind, right. So this is action item 5.1, accept gifts donations.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll move that forward if that's okay. Do we have a motion to accept action item 5.1?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
Thank you.
All in favor?
Thank you.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Thank you very much, Inspire.
All right. Go figure out how to make us some more money. Thank you very much.
That's great. So now we have 6.7.
Okay, Dr. Montesano, there's one other item before we get into our workshop that I would like to bring forward under our personnel. Regarding action item 6.7, would you like to address that?
Yes, and it is without absolute delight that I make the recommendation before the Board of Education to appoint Leonardo Macias as the new Director of Special Education and Pupil Personnel Services for the Nyack School District. I do want to share for the board and also for the public that Leo has come to us through a very extensive search process. We had well over 70 candidates apply for this position. We went through an extensive several rounds of interview processes through committees. That did include parents from our SEPSA organization. We had members of our child study team, special education teachers from all of the schools in the district, along with all of our administrators, several of our administrators. Through that process, one individual really just came through as an individual that has both passion for children with disabilities as well as extensive expertise and experience in the field. Leo is a resident of Congers, New York. He is a graduate, his undergraduate from Manhattan College in special education and clinical psychology. He went on for his master's degree from Columbia University and then went on to Mercy College to complete his certification as a school leader. He's been a member of the Yonkers School District for several years, most recently as their Director of Special Education. I can share with you that Leo also is bilingual in terms of his knowledge base in the area of Spanish, which is a growing language that we experience here in the Nyack schools. I anticipate Leo beginning his assignment on May 1st, and I know Leo is here with his family tonight, and I will just share with you, I know he is going to be a tremendous asset to our leadership team. We'll give him a copy of that, most likely to succeed, have him start a book study with us immediately. And without further ado, I want to just bring his name to your attention.
Oh, thank you very much, Dr. Massada. Collins, Trustee Marshall.
Just a question. There's Leonardo John Macias III. Is there a fourth?
Step that hand up. Excellent. All right. Do we have a motion to accept action item 6.7, the appointment of Leonardo John Macias III?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion?
Welcome. And to your family as well.
Abstain? Opposed? Motion carries. Welcome and congratulations.
Congratulations.
Welcome
aboard. I know you have a young family, so feel free if you want to head out, and close your evening.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So, are there any citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns on any of the workshop items? Mr. Tanova, if you could. And state your name, Rick.
Rick Tannenbaum, but I was wondering, I don't know what the proposal is going to be for the possible changes in the policy, and I was wondering if I could defer my comments to after the workshop item is aired.
Yeah, certainly. Okay. We're getting to that right now, actually. All right. Dr. Montesano.
Yes. Let me share with the board. Given you all a copy of policy 2060. And when Mr. Tannenbaum last time around voiced the concern, if you will, it centered around the fact that he was aware that we have music teachers, in this case, music teacher at the high school that was providing private employment lessons to students that are currently in our middle school. And the concern is whether or not that presents a conflict of interest or a perception of a conflict of interest as a result of the fact that as those students gravitate or graduate into the high school program, that same individual will be making decisions about entrance into the chamber orchestra, seating positions in, first chair, second chair, et cetera. So since the meeting in which that was brought up, which I believe was the February 2nd meeting, I was able to meet with Claudette Jimerson, who is our interim chairperson for the music department, basically to get an understanding of, is this the only situation that we have in the district? We have other situations that are, similar to that. And the findings that I had of these situations that we're aware of, we do have 5 music teachers in our program, not just in the orchestra, that would be the band as well as the orchestra, in which we have our staff, 5 staff members that are currently involved in providing private lessons for a fee base to, I believe, 13 students in the district. Not all of them fall into the same category of, we have no situations where any of the teachers are involved in a giving private lessons to kids currently in their program. And the board should recall, you did in fact visit this policy last year, you did amend this policy last May, and that added language under private employment that would prohibit any teachers that have current caseloads of students or students in their classroom from engaging any kind of private employment of any form of tutorial services, et cetera. What I did find was that, let me just make sure I have my notes correct here. Our high school band teacher, the information I have, is currently providing lessons, music lessons, private fee-based music lessons to two middle school students. The orchestra teacher at the high school is providing private music lessons to five middle school students and one elementary student. And I believe there is one indication of one of our middle school music teachers who is providing private fee-based lessons to one elementary teacher. So, you know, the question essentially is, you know, specifically the way your board policy is written, it doesn't really speak to the issue of future, you know, that a child or a student is going to be engaged with that teacher in the future. It really just talks to the present, current time. So what I wanted to do tonight was just, first of all, make sure you're aware of the policy that you have as it is addressed. There is language that certainly talks about need for the Board of Education to avoid situations of any existence of a conflict of interest that may call into question the integrity of the management of your schools or the operation of the school district. So at this point, I just wanted to open it up to the board, and I recognize that, you know, the full board is not here tonight, and also obviously with our council to review it as well to see if in fact the current policy as it's written represents a violation of the policy in any way, or in fact there's an interest from the board of examining this issue further in terms of trying to you know, make sure your position on matters like this are very clear.
Okay, thanks Dr. Monsalva. Any comments?
Michael Mark.
Just so I understand clearly what you've said at the moment is the staff that is providing private instruction at the moment is providing instruction to students who are not currently their own students in school.
Correct.
So in terms of the policy as it stands right now, where we're saying that you shouldn't have a private arrangement with any student during the time that student is on their caseload or assigned to their classes, they're not out of compliance with that.
That portion of the policy, yes.
That's right. So we're dealing with the other thing about perception and the fact that something may be called into question. So my question is, do we need to ask legal counsel to look at this for some kind of clarification of language in terms of conflict of interest? Because in terms of the way it's written right now, this particular case doesn't seem to violate that, but I can see how there might be a perception otherwise. So it's a little cloudy.
If that's the desire of the board, I can certainly research that issue and get back to you folks on that.
Do you have a view?
Yeah, I would think that we would want to have you go back and look at that.
Okay. I was going to have that question myself. Thank you for creating.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. Sorry, Jen, did you have a question?
Just wondering maybe if Jim could give us a little bit more information in the future about sort of the selection process for things like, you know, if we're looking at the music program and the tutoring there and how kids are chosen for orchestra or chamber orchestra when they get to high school. Is it chosen by one person? Is there sort of a committee that looks at that? And, you know, how that, just a little bit more information on how that takes place.
Yeah, I can tell you that, you know, that the both in the case of the band and the orchestra, that the directors of both of those programs are obviously heavily involved. What I'm not sure about is if, you know, the chairperson has a role in it, or if there is, you know, any additional. I mean, you know, sometimes when, you know, the basketball coach is making a decision about cuts and things, it's not mm-hmm. just the basketball coach that's involved in the decision. Usually the assistants or the freshman coach are involved, or, you know, the modified coach may be involved as well. But I can certainly gather that information from Claudette, exactly how that transpires both in the band program, in the orchestra program, as well as the chamber orchestra program.
That would be great.
James, did you have any questions? No.
Are there other things? I mean, we don't want to do this piecemeal, and a policy should be all-encompassing. I mean, there are other things in school that might be involved, sports? Do we have to look
at
that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, you know, like in your, you know, this the music program, you know, does have, some special qualities to it that, you know, the math program, the social studies program would not have, meaning that if one of the algebra teachers at the high school is assisting with a seventh grader in mathematics, by the time that child gets into the math program and is in that teacher's algebra class, they're really, there's no selection process that would take place. I suppose in the sports program, I don't know. I mean, I can check with Joe Sigillo to see if any of our high school coaches are giving, batting lessons or pitching lessons or dribbling lessons to any of our students, where it may also, be a cause of a concern with regard to this perception of conflict. But I don't know that off the top of my head. I'd really have to search that with Joe Sigillo.
Yeah, and I hadn't thought about it before, but the Summer Strings thing, which is such a great program, is that a different thing because it's not in school?
Well, it's not private. Your policy speaks to the private engagement of a contract.
Of an individual student.
That's a school-based program that you offer to kids, voluntarily. So it's not really an individual staff member making a contract outside of your school, which I think this policy is kind of
designed
towards.
With an individual student.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So Trustee Marshall?
You're going to go back and assess with a chairperson to see if how kids are selected.
The selection, I think if the question, if I inferred the question correctly, is the only person making the judgment or the adjudication of who gets what? The single band director, orchestra director, or conductor, or are there other professionals, staff members that are involved in that selection process? Not to say that would, necessarily take away the whole issue, but it may, it's probably information the board, I think, would like to see.
Yes.
Of if I understood that correctly, how that transpires.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And Ralph, you'll follow up around the conflict issue for us?
Okay, yes.
Fine. Okay. So I guess we could perhaps, if you can gather that information, Dr. Montesano and Ralph, and if we have it in place for the next board meeting, to have this policy review again as a workshop item.
Put it right back on the
right
agenda.
Back on?
Sure.
Is that okay? Is that
sounds
okay.
Good.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Fine. So I'll give you a chance to talk now as you wanted to.
Again, Rick Tannenbaum. So something that's unique about the music program is that it really starts in the fourth grade, and you progress through, through the middle school and into the high school. And there's one or two elementary school strings teachers. There's one middle school teacher, and basically, there's the music director, Matt Lasaro, is the high school strings teacher, whatever you want to call him. That's the role. And when my daughter started in the eighth grade, she was handed a sheet of paper from Miss Yee that said, "Here are some private tutors," and it names Miss Winsey and Ms. Johnson and Matt Lasaro.
I'm sorry, I don't interrupt. Was that this year?
This year.
You did.
Oh, she's in eighth grade. So she was handed their names to hire as private tutors. Now, I don't know if Matt Lasaro is handing the names of Ms. Yee and Ms. Winsey and Ms. Johnson for hiring, at that level. I don't know if there's any sort of collaboration or cooperation to have each other hired, but if Matt Lasaro is teaching a middle school student, that doesn't violate the policy, but it is absolutely certain that that middle school student will progress into the high school, and Matt Lasaro will have had a possibly 3-year financial relationship with that student, and when the time comes to choose who makes the special chamber orchestra, who flies off to Europe, who gets the best seats, or selections for all county orchestra, he inevitably has that conflict. And there's no way to really avoid it other than to say that he can't have that relationship. So when Ms. Yee is tutoring elementary school students, it's the same sort of thing. They're going to advance into the middle school, and she's going to be advocating for their all-county positions. She's going to be selecting them for first chair, second chair, whatever it is. And it's an unavoidable conflict that, although it doesn't violate the policy now, will violate the policy. So I don't think the question, Michael, is does the current scheme violate the policy, because it clearly doesn't. But it's whether this scheme is defective in that it inevitably is going to create conflicts when you adhere to the policy. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what I wanted to add.
Okay. Thanks very much. Yeah, if you could state your name for the podcast, Tina.
Tina Trastner. So the other thing about this is if you have the teachers at the elementary school, tutoring the high school or vice versa, you can't lock the teachers in and not have the teachers have the movement to go from the elementary to middle school to the high school along the way. Mm-hmm. And so you never know where the teacher is going to land and who their student might have been or might still be. And if Matt Lucero, as everybody believes, is going to become the chair of the department at some point, I mean, it's just, it's not right that he's got private students under his tutorage. I mean, they should take their tutoring outside of the district. They're perfectly entitled to make extra money tutoring. But I think having them make it inside the district is extremely problematic. It's much more than a perception problem. I don't know if it's technically a legal problem, but it is a logistical problem. So I would hope that the board could try to understand all of the different scenarios and to see how it is a conflict of interest. And when it does come to, as Rick was saying, when it comes to picks for orchestra position, first chair, second chair, this means a lot to these students. You know, and if there's a sense that, oh, well, it's the student who's being tutored by the in-house teacher who seems to land in that spot all the time, I mean, it creates a very divisive situation amongst the children. So I think it's a problem, and I think that there should be a very clear it should be all or nothing. It shouldn't be this kind of, well, they can tutor them then, but then they can't tutor them now. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense. It's like a loophole that doesn't really work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Okay, item 3.4, Dr.
Montesano. Yes, as the board is aware, the River Rowing Association has come forward with a proposal to provide for middle school and high school students a program to introduce them to the sport of rowing. And the proposal as it's written would provide a program from March 7 through May 26. It would be limited to 20 students in the middle school and high school collectively. There would be some tryouts that would be involved. We have looked at this in terms of, because obviously your kids will be on Rockland Lake on the water, and so we have looked at this in terms of your liability insurance. It does not, based on the information we got back from a liability insurance carrier, this will not represent any increases in premiums or make necessary any changes to your existing policy, provided that your kids don't climb aboard a motor launch that's longer than, I think, 25 or 35 feet. But it does appear to be a very nice opportunity. There are programs that exist currently in Suffern, North Rockland, and Clarkstown. I'm really just looking for, I don't really think it requires any formal board approval, but I'm just really looking for some direction to say, yeah, we want to give this a try. You typically have allowed clubs to exist on a trial basis, and provided there are numbers of kids that want to join and participate. My feeling always is that, you know, the less amount of students, teenagers in particular, that you have idle and you give them opportunities to be active, I always think the healthier our community is going to be. So I'm just really looking at all of you to say, you know, is this something that you're okay with? And if so, then we can let the River Association know that they can begin the process of starting a club.
I just had a question.
Trustee Marshall.
Have we covered the students in terms of being swim safe, swim ready?
My understanding in talking to Peter Close was that they would also, if there are kids that are interested that currently do not know how to swim, they are making arrangements with the NIAC Y to actually provide swim lessons to kids, so that they may not necessarily be ready to be on the water, you know, until the lessons are at a certain competency level, but that's also part of what they want to try to establish as well.
Because there are no life jackets with rowing, you just row.
Not. I don't think when you're in the boat,
right.
There might be life jackets available, but there's right. usually what happens when they're on the water. Most of, by the way, is not always on the water. There's machines they use and things. But there's always a supervisor or advisor is out on a separate launch, that's available to assist the kids as well.
I think it's great.
Okay. I was going to say, I think it's great. I mean, it's amazing to see the kids that started rowing without even having an official sport and how so many of them are going on to row in college. Just amazing. I mean, I love that it's a sport that you do not have to start when you're 5 years old to be good at. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a daughter who's a gymnast. I know I talk about this. You got to start it at 5 years old or forget about it. You're never even going to be able to do it in high school. And this is something that you can start when you're in high school or middle school. I feel like it really appeals to, maybe the kid that's not one to have the big hand-eye coordination in basketball and baseball. It's just, I feel like it's targeted at a real niche of kids that may be looking for something. And, I know Peter well from the community, and I just am so impressed by how dedicated he's been to trying to make this work for kids in the community. So I am so happy that we can start out, and he's made it so easy for us. Feel like he did all the work to really, I know you've done work too, but and the district has done some work, but really, like, he's put it all together in such a nice, easy way for us to be able to get started. So I think it's great.
No, I think it's great.
And I see here, this is interesting. He's given us the list, I've only just noticed this, the NIAC school district students who enrolled and have gone on to college and are growing in college.
The statistically, particularly for females, you have the greatest percentage of getting a college scholarship is through this sport. And I know Peter Close's niece, I believe, is at Stanford University on a partial scholarship, and the more she brings her time down, the more scholarship funding that she will provide. So
it's a sport with few injuries. I'm sorry, I'm obsessed with my daughter's home with a sprained ankle, another injury from gymnastics. I'm going to tell her to try out for
I can share with you, I have one of my older brothers who was okay athletically, mm-hmm. but could not participate at a college level in like basketball, was on the national championship heavyweight crew team at Annapolis Naval Academy. It's a wonderful sport. Mm-hmm. I mean, it takes a lot of discipline and so forth, but yeah.
Excellent. All right. So I think, I mirror the board's view that this is a good thing.
I'll give them the good news tomorrow.
All right. Good. Thanks, good. Dr. Montezano. All right. Item 3.5, the resolution on the New York State Monitor in East Ramapo. So as I had mentioned to Connie before she left, we have actually drafted a resolution. So for the record, I'm going to read this for everyone's benefit.
Before you read that.
Yes, Trustee Marshall.
Sorry. I was going to mention it after Constance spoke, but as the former representative for the board for 2 years and the Rockland County School Boards Association, it was really an eye-opener with respect to what was happening in East Ramapo. And to some of the points that she made, this was happening so quietly you weren't aware. But I would say that it's very important that the neighboring districts, and that was what was brought home to me, pay attention to what's happening. It wasn't so much our school districts that brought about the evolution of a monitor. It was actually a local group of faith-based leaders that went up to Albany 3 times because under John King, former Commissioner King, this monitor still did not happen. And it wasn't until this group, including a number of rabbis, went up to Albany at least 2 times that I'm aware of and put the pressure on the state to really get the monitor in place that had happened. And that was through community efforts, that was through other districts supporting it, and now they want to go the next step, which is, a monitor without veto power is nothing. Mm-hmm. So now they do need that piece. So I just wanted to bring that piece of it, having participated in a lot of these discussions, and just wanted to make, for podcast purposes, make the public aware of what's going on.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. James. Okay, so this is a proposed resolution from the board, from the Knight School Board. It's a resolution on New York State Monitor in East Ramapo. Whereas in recent years, the school board of East Ramapo, New York, has denied public school students, largely children of color from low-income backgrounds, basic educational programs and staff, such as full-day kindergarten, art, music, athletics, advanced classes, assistant principals and social workers, while simultaneously increasing funding for students attending non-public schools. And whereas in 2014, New York State Education Department monitor Hank Greenberg produced a comprehensive, empirically based report declaring the district and school board has recklessly mismanaged funds, not complied with state and federal law, has entirely depleted the district's millions in reserves, has exhibited repeated favoritism toward non-public schools over public schools, has demonstrated deep disrespect of the community and warrants diversity and transparency training. And whereas in 2015, New York State Education Department monitors Dennis Walcott, Monica George Fields, and John Sipple affirmed Mr. Greenberg's findings and concluded that the school board has persistently failed to act in the best interests of public school students. And whereas both studies recommended an independent monitor to serve as a check and balance of the school board to ensure educational quality and fiscal integrity of the district, a position unanimously endorsed by the New York State Board of Regents and officially supported by dozens of local and statewide organizations, including the Rockland County School Boards Association and the New York City Bar Association. And whereas state intervention requires the authorization of Governor Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, and whereas our school community stands with the students attending the East Ramapo Central School District and believes that the unique problems and prolonged crisis in the district, documented by multiple studies, obligate the state to increase its formal involvement, be it resolved that this resolution serves as a public declaration that our board supports the legislation introduced by Rockland County's lawmakers to bring oversight with veto power to East Ramapo and urges fellow school boards across New York State to support it as well. Comments?
This is a very strongly worded resolution. I think it's a, what happens to it? Where does it go? Do we know once we make this resolution?
Sorry, you know what? I meant to refer to Jen, sorry, because this emanated from the Rockland School Boards Association, well, the meeting you're at. So.
Yeah, and I wish I could answer Michael's question. So yeah, at the Rockland County School Board Association meeting, they distributed this resolution that was given to them by like a private community member, part of an advocacy group in East Ramapo. We were not able to really have a discussion about it at Rockland County School Board Association because Rockland County School Board Association cannot approve a resolution as a group. All they really could do is distribute it to each of us to bring back to our own school districts. Now, just in terms of sharing information, what I'll say is that, you know, I've gone to Rockland County School Board meetings here and there previous to this one, and I was at a meeting when the group was talking about sort of all of the problems that they see in East Ramapo and putting together suggestions for the monitor, and completely one of the suggestions was to have this continued veto power, or to have veto power by a monitor. Now, at this last school board member meeting, I will share, it was odd. The only person who seemed to be opposed to this was the member from the East Ramapo School Board. Very confusing. This is not a school board member who is part of the Hasidic Jewish majority on the board. We could not really discuss it because we weren't discussing it as a resolution for that group to pass. And essentially, I can say with 99% confidence that every person in the room other than that one member was in favor of this, was bringing it back to their school boards, and was sort of confused by his objection to it. So just sharing that.
for, you know, since I'm our representative and want to bring that information back. I mean, personally, I think Connie did a great job of explaining the situation. You know, she was a wonderful speaker, and I'm glad we had such a room full to sort of hear what she had to say. You know, I personally, like, I feel like, I imagine most of us do that, like, as school board members, we are here to look out for all kids. You know, I know that that's sort of what drove me to want to have this role on the board, being involved in previous advocacy groups such as, you know, PTA Central Hudson Region, where I will say that group constantly talked about the issues in East Ramapo, not only when we were here in our county, but when we were, you know, up at New York State meetings. To me, I feel like anybody who's for public education and for kids and who knows about what's going on in East Ramapo feels like there's just so much wrong. And, you know, I think that this is a great resolution personally, and that this veto power by the monitor is what's needed. You know, this is, I feel like, what I've been learning from different meetings and, you know, sort of being involved in advocacy. So,
okay. So, well, to Michael's point, given that I'm looking at the last bit here that says that our board supports the legislation introduced by Rockland County's lawmakers, should we consult with them to find out where they'd like this delivered, or?
Yeah, I mean, normally when a board passes a resolution of this count, you know, this magnitude, it typically goes to the policy makers. And this is a policy decision made up in Albany, and they've taken a position not to endorse the veto power, which is part of the, you know, so typically it goes to the governor's office, your state legislators, it might even be this, the Senate chair, you know, in Albany. The only thing I would just ask, because I know some of you were involved in the development of the policy, there's a number of references in this policy and
resolution.
In the resolution, and I trust it was written by an advocate, at least that it sounds like. And I just want to ensure that there's been the appropriate reference checking to make sure there's a level of accuracy. And I don't, you know, I don't know if Jen, any of you were involved in doing any of that, but I would just, you know, raise that to, and it may be, you know, and there may very well be supportive, but, you know, that's probably the one, you know, open question that I would have. But I do think it should be sent, and Connie may be a good, you know, person to ask as to who the best person is to send to, but normally when boards pass resolutions, it goes on to those that are in your target group is obviously the folks up in Albany, you know, that have the power to make these kinds of decisions.
Yeah.
And I would add that when we were at the legislative breakfast, I know that Ellen and Assemblyman Scopus did speak to it as well in terms of their support. And Assemblyman Scopus actually also mentioned that Assemblyman Zembrowski also support it. So to your point, they are on that side of the legislation that is trying to get the additional, you know, force there. So that's a good question. I would also want to know, are the other districts putting together a resolution? Did you know what they are? Or
I think they were all taking this resolution back.
Okay.
But it is a good point.
Okay.
Nobody talked about that fact-checking it, I will say.
Well, if you're putting your stamp of approval on it, you just want to make sure.
Yeah,
and I'm sure it probably has been vetted, but I would just, you know, I think it's a question that you may want to examine.
All right.
My point is that it is a strongly worded document. we take when we take a stand and write a letter or a resolution like this, you know, I know that as a board we take it seriously. In this case, we're really stepping into somebody else's territory.
Yeah.
And if you put yourself in their shoes, you want to be careful that what you're saying, and I think that it's important to make a statement like this, that it is accurate. So you were, Dr. Montesano, you were talking about what I was getting up to make sure that what we're talking about is grounded in fact, and it's an important thing to make a statement about, because it's it's an ongoing problem, and I get my phone calls too, and meet up with people that tell me what kind of problems there are in East Ramapo. And it's unfortunate for the kids, and it's not good for public education.
So, I mean, I'm happy to take on sort of trying to fact check it. I'm not exactly sure what the best process is for going about that. You know, if it's sending it, if asking
Well, a couple of things. It seems like, you know, Connie has a lot of background information. That might be a good start. Do you know Connie at all?
No, I don't think so. No, I feel like I met briefly at some point before this, but no, I don't have an email or a phone number or anything.
Well, can't you simply have the Rockland County School Board of Leadership check it, like the executive
That's
director?
What I was thinking.
As well
I can
as
ask.
The president guy, the president of the Rockland County
yeah.
School
Board. No, I can definitely ask them if that's something they can. Yeah, that's the easiest thing to start with.
There must be a person or a group of people that drafted this this document.
No, but apparently it was a community member.
Yeah, I believe it was a community member. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the name that they used.
That's a place to start.
Represent it?
No, you don't go back to the source and say, is
that
it
community
right?
Member
no,
say,
not
yes.
Is it right? Had documented.
If I might offer a suggestion.
Yes, please.
Yes, please, legal counsel.
Yes, there are statements to reports done by Mr. Greenberg and others there. I believe that those reports may be available online, but I think that one place to start would be certainly going back to Rockland County School Boards Association, see if they have access to any of those particular reports, that you can then look in them and make sure that the conclusions that have been drawn are accurately represented from those reports, and inquire as to whether they're available or if Rockland County School Boards Association can help in terms of getting access to some of those reports and other documents that are referenced.
Yeah, not only that, there are some comments here. I mean, as innocuous as it may sound, if it's questionable, you know, the studies recommended an independent monitor to serve as a check and balance of the school board. Check, we can find that out. To ensure educational quality and fiscal integrity of the district. A position unanimously endorsed by the New York State Board of Regents. Guess we can fact check that.
Yeah.
And officially supported by dozens of local and statewide organizations. Including the Rockland County School Board Association, that's fine, and the New York City Bar Association. So, you know, that paragraph jumped out at me as, all right, you know, check. So, Jen, would you start with Rockland County School Board and see what they know and go there, and then we'll bring it back for discussion at a subsequent board meeting. Yeah. Right, any other comments, thoughts? Wonderful. Okay, onwards and upwards. The breathalyzer policy we have tabled. So action items. Do we have a motion to accept action items? Oh, are there any citizens' proposals, questions, or concerns on the action items 4.2 to 4.4? No, seeing as there are none, do we have a motion to accept items 4.2 to 4.4?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. Dr. Montesano, any special items on the personnel you wish to address?
No, obviously the one I wanted to make sure was Leo's introduction to the board.
It's Leonardo.
I'm sorry?
Leonardo.
Well, he told me I can call him Leo, that's why.
I like Leonardo.
Okay. I have one question on that.
Trustee Maraschino. Which one?
Number 6.6. Appoint additional spring coaches, but there's not a list of the spring coaches.
Yes,
it's in board.
Well, you've already appointed the majority of the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
These are just I don't remember exactly. It might be like a JV lacrosse coach, but it is in your board docs.
It's.
You should be able to find it. You're logged in the board side of it.
Can somebody show me?
I'm pulling up.
Right. There's two. Yeah.
6.6.
There should be two coaches. I saw it myself when I logged on.
Yeah. What am I missing?
No, there's not.
Yes, it is. Right there.
Where?
All right, guys. There are only four of us.
Come on.
I'm looking.
No, listen. I did ask. Oh.
Yeah, but where is it?
When you know what? It's funny. I asked about I emailed Linda this morning.
I know, but where is it?
Neither one of us noticed that it was not as an attachment. It's when you click on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, sometimes it's an attachment, so I was just looking.
I apologize.
Now I see it.
Oh, there it is.
I just want to make sure you see the names.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, it's there.
Do you see it? Look.
Michael sees it, then it's there.
It's right there.
I don't need to get to it.
Sorry, got it. Just looking for the attachment.
He's good.
He's good. All right. Do we have a motion to accept items 6.1 through 6.6 and item 6.8 under personnel?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second?
So moved. We are adjourned. 9:09 p.m.